Assault Wrestling Alliance is back in Waldorf with temperature rising. See all your favorite AWA stars in hard-hitting non-stop Assault Wrestling Alliance action. And appearing live, former WWE and ECW star, The Sandman. Tickets are on sale now, so grab yours and don't miss the action. Saturday, August 3rd.
What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking trades. It's pretty dead part of the offseason, as I talked about in my last episode. As somebody who tries to put out some Wizard stuff, you know, as often as I can, it's not easy right now. There's literally nothing going on. Free agency's over, summer league's done, training camp doesn't start for, you know, another month, probably 2 months, to be honest, then preseason, then the regular season. So August really is the deadest month for content, for anything NBA related. So I figured, why not do a pod on some trades? Because I always like talking trades. Whenever I'm in class and I'm bored, I like going on. I use fanspo.com. I don't know what other trade machines you use, but I like going on it and just making some crazy mock trades, seeing what works and what doesn't. And I've been coming up with a couple, and I figured I'd share them, kind of see where Wizards fans are at with certain players, kind of update Wizards fans on some of the reports that I've been seeing from insiders regarding who could be made available for this year, and kind of my own insight based on previous years, previous blunders from this front office, as to what Wizards fans should expect via the trade market entering year. I would say year one of this rebuild. I think last year we can consider to be year zero, just because they had a lot of pieces they had to offload before they could even begin. Dealt with some injuries throughout the year last year. We're figuring a lot of things out. So I don't want to count that as year one. I'd call it year zero, like a lot of other people have said. And yeah, this is year one of the rebuild. There's going to be a lot of trades. I mean, last deadline was dead. Daniel Gafford got dealt, and that was it. Tyus Jones stayed on the team. You made a trade in the beginning, earlier before the deadline, to get Bagley. But again, not a big move either. So yeah, a dead deadline last year. I would expect a little bit more traction, a little bit more buzz around the deadline in February of 2025, just because the Wizards made some really good moves, signed some good vets, have some already good vets on good contracts that they should look to move. So don't want to talk too much, just kind of want to get into it. The first trade I made is the one that I think is most likely, a trade that I think just it's one of those, yeah, he's being rumored to this team, but is there really any validity to these rumors? And I actually think there is, and that's Jonas Valanciunas to the Lakers. If you remember, before the Wizards signed him, the Lakers were the team that everyone thought would sign Valanciunas. LeBron talked about it at USA Basketball Camp that he was one of the top three guys the Lakers were really hoping to get, and he obviously signed with the Wizards. So they have clear interest. They have a pretty big need in the front court, and this is a guy that would do everything they need, rebound, defend in the paint, can knock down a three if you need him to. It's just kind of a big presence that they could put, AD alongside in the starting lineup for the Lakers. So this is the trade that I have. The Lakers get Jonas Valanciunas from the Wizards, and in return, Washington receives Max Christie, Christian Wood, and a 2029 unprotected first-round pick. In each of these trades, I'm going to break it down based on why I think the Wizards would do it and why I think the team that they are working with on the trade would also do it. So first off, why the Wizards would do it, because I would assume most of the people listening are Wizards fans. You want to hear about your team first. Why would the Wizards do this move? Why does it make sense from a front office perspective? Look, the first thing is Valanciunas is 32. He clearly doesn't fit the Wizards' timeline. It's more so sign him for a cheap deal now, let Alex Saar learn from him, and then hopefully ship him off by February and get something in return. And look, if you were able to get back 21-year-old Max Christie, I think he's entering his third year in the league, career 38% three-point shooter, was a 42% in his rookie year, regressed a bit last year. But still a really talented shooter, a decent perimeter defender, good length, and a guy that I would like to buy stock in now that I think has decent potential. They just signed him to a 4-year, $28 million deal in free agency. So starting this year, he's locked up through what, 2027, 28 season. So long-term deal, 21-year-old shooter, only in year three. It's a great piece to add to your young core. You add Christian Wood, who has a player option this year. So I don't know. I don't think he's opted in yet. So like obviously I don't know if he's gonna opt in or not. I don't know what his market is like. I would assume he opts in $3 million, and then I guess this year he'll play, try to earn himself a better contract. And if that's the case and he opts in, then it makes sense. Because I think the league, I don't know if they're a second apron team. I'm pretty sure they are, but I don't know how much salary they can necessarily take back. So Christie's deal is 7 million plus the 3 million option from Wood makes 10 mil. Valanciunas is on a bargain deal at 9.9 this year, so the salaries work. And yeah, I think it's a great deal. And then you look at the 2029 first round pick unprotected. That's kind of the deal maker. Like if you're the Wizards and they give you Max Christie and Christian Wood, like why would the Wizards do that? Valanciunas is better than both of those people. He's under contract for 2 more years, and just wouldn't make sense. You'd basically be trading him for 3 months of Christian Wood and Max Christie, which I don't like. The Lakers know they need to entice a team, and to be honest, I don't think the Lakers have many other options. I don't think there's many other moves that drastically improve the Lakers front court. Valanciunas is probably going to be the best big on the open market, a guy that they really wanted, that they obviously thought would fit alongside AD. So I think they would be willing to give up an unprotected first. Can you get 2 ones? Absolutely not. I played with making this like a top five protected first, but again, I just don't know if the Wizards would do that, considering the Lakers will probably suck at that point, and it's possible that it won't convey. So by making them protected, the Lakers go all in, and the Wizards get, some solid value in return, for a guy in Valanciunas. You're basically getting Wood, Christie, and 2029 unprotected one. I wouldn't say for free, but like you had unlimited cap space. You signed Valanciunas to a great deal, and then just moved off of him to acquire really good assets. That's rebuilding 101, and that's why this would be a terrific deal for Washington. But Washington obviously can't do it unless the Lakers are into it. And so why would the Lakers do this? Why would they give up an unprotected one of their best young guys in Max Christie for Valanciunas? Well, the main thing is they have 2 to 3 years maybe with LeBron left, and he's going to be great. I mean, LeBron's a top 10 player still in the league, and he's nearly 40. But with LeBron still playing, I think he'll retire pretty soon. And then AD, very injury prone, creeping, ever so close to, is he still in his prime territory? They don't have much of a window. It's closing. And you saw last year, like they barely s escaped that, play-in situation in the West, ended up facing the Nuggets and just were outclassed in, a lot of the games because, they were winning, but they just didn't have enough. And I think adding a guy like Valanciunas would help them over the top, help them have enough front court help for LeBron and AD. Again, going against Jokic, Valanciunas is a huge, huge person. Like he strength, size. He's not the most athletic. He can't guard perimeter bigs. But a guy like Jokic, who spends a lot of time around the rim, a guy like Valanciunas would be great. And that way you can have AD pretty much just roaming and shot blocking. And it would open a lot more because I think they like AD playing the power forward more. I think AD likes playing power forward more. And even if AD still plays center, you have Valanciunas to add center depth. So you don't have to throw Jackson Hayes on Nikola Jokic and call it a night. Like you have some options. And that's why I think Valanciunas is perfect. That's why I think the Lakers wanted to sign him in the first place. And again, what's that 2029 one doing for you? Probably nothing. And it's going to suck for the Lakers if, at that point LeBron's retired and AD has moved on or he's just not the same player. Now you're kind of in no man's land. You don't own that pick. But it's not asking you to give up multiple ones. It's a very cheap deal you're getting Val on. And it's not like it's Valanciunas for this year and then you're done. you have Valanciunas for another 2 years on an unbelievably cheap deal. So again, that makes Valanciunas' value even more, and that's why I think an unprotected one is exactly what the Wizards would need to move Valanciunas. I think this is a great deal for both sides. Washington gets an unprotected one, a very good young player in Christie, and some salary filler in Wood. And the Lakers get their guy in Valanciunas they wanted, you know, a couple of months ago in free agency, on a very cheap deal. So again, this is the trade that I really could see happening. There's other guys like Hood Schifino on LA that I really like. But again, I don't know if they'd be willing to part ways with him. But yeah, they have the pieces that can make a deal like that work. And I think that if I had to guess one move player to team exactly, it would be Valanciunas to the Lakers. So that's the first trade. The second move is one that I probably talked about. I've done a lot of pods about trades, but the one obviously that I've talked about the most is Kyle Kuzma to the Kings. It's just like it makes so much sense, especially considering that they just signed DeRozan and they still have some bloated salaries like Kevin Huerter, that they, you know, I would assume want to move. Kevin Huerter is not a fourth best player, I don't think, on a championship team. And in a loaded Western Conference, look, the Kings added DeRozan, but they missed the playoffs last year. What were they? They were the 10 seed, or no, they were the 9 seed, beat Golden State, and then lost to New Orleans. So, like, the 9 seed in a loaded West, you added DeRozan, which, you know, got rid of Harrison Barnes, add DeRozan. You have Devin Carter now. That adds a couple wins, maybe. It certainly doesn't propel you into the top, you know, 4 or 5 consideration in the West, but it's maybe enough for the Kings to avoid the play-in tournament. And even at that, I mean, are you playing regular season games to just avoid the play-in, maybe win a series, and then you're not going anywhere? The Kings remind me kind of the Wizards. Like, they're a very solid team with a very solid roster, but they haven't made that big trade. They haven't made that big all-in move. You know, they've been rumored in it. They wanted Siakam, didn't want to give up too much for him. They wanted LaVine, didn't want to give up too much for him. So they've been very reluctant to pull the trigger. But when it comes to Kyle Kuzma, he's a relatively inexpensive piece that I think fits them perfectly. Inexpensive in terms of his contract, which makes, you know, him a little bit more tradable, but inexpensive in terms of, I don't think he's going to be the 3-4 unprotected ones and 2 or 3 pick swaps like Siakam went for, like the Bulls had been asking for LaVine a couple years ago. Like, they can afford to get Kyle Kuzma at a pretty, I wouldn't say, how do I describe it? Like, it's not a steep price, but it's also not a cheap price. You got to give up something for the Wizards to move a guy like Kuz. And this is the best package I could come up with. So just hear me out real quick, okay? Sacramento gets Kyle Kuzma. In return, the Wizards get Kevin Huerter and his $16.8 million salary, a 2027 unprotected first-round pick, and a 2029 lottery-protected first-round pick, which, if not conveyed in 2029, turns into second-round picks in 2029 and 2031. So that's a lot. I'm going to break it down, obviously. Kevin Huerter has 2 years left on his deal. I think at least this year is 16.8. I would assume the other figure is probably in the same range. A very big contract, and Herter's a great player, but I don't know if he's deserving of that much money. And he's a guy that, you know, you have him at small forward, I guess. DeRozan kind of plays that guard/forward spot. You got to play Keegan Murray somewhere. So I don't even know if Herter's going to start. And it kind of makes sense salary-wise. And then the 2027 unprotected one, the Wizards have been looking for multiple ones for the longest time for Kuz. So I doubt they'd take anything less than at least one unprotected first. And then in terms of the 2029 lottery protected, I did lottery protected because when you're dealing with a front office as stingy and reluctant to make big moves as the Kings, I think you got to take what you can get. And I've been very vocal on the Wizards front of take what you can get for Kuz. Don't hold out like you did with Tyus. Just get the most you can if you're going to move on now. And so I think the Kings wouldn't do two unprotected ones for Kyle Kuzma. They think it's too much. And if you're the Wizards, That 2029 lottery protected first round pick, it's very possible that the Kings are still a decent team. I don't see De'Aaron Fox going anywhere anytime soon. He's very good and still very young. Keegan Murray, very good, very young. Malik Monk isn't too old. I think he's what, 24, 25. Not that old. DeRozan won't be there in 2029. But Sabonis could too. So like I think you could very well see a place where the Wizards get both of these ones. Why would the Wizards do it? Let's start with that. Kyle Kuzma's 29, I believe. Doesn't fit the Wizards' long-term timeline. This is something that Wizards fans have known for a minute now. I'm sure the front office has known for a minute. That's why they've, I wouldn't say shopped him, but they've taken calls on him. He's not some superstar, untradeable piece to this thing. He's very movable. And they've obviously, done their due diligence. Another point is the Wizards, like I said before, have long wanted multiple ones for Kuz. I've been very vocal saying I don't think that they can get it. Well, while it would be great to see the Wizards get multiple ones, it's probably maximum value for Kuzma. I don't see any team getting that desperate to where they're going to overpay that much for a player of his caliber. However, I think the loophole here is it really two first round picks if one is top 14 protected? Yes, obviously it's two ones, but it's not the same as unprotected. If the Kings sit there and it doesn't convey, and they basically gave up Herter and one unprotected first and 2 seconds in 29 and 31 to get Kyle Kuzma and get Pete now, they'd be like, I love that deal, let's do it. But it kind of is in that realm where it could end up being a tremendous deal for Washington, and it also could end up being a tremendous deal for Sacramento, depending on that convey con I don't even know what the word is, depending on if that 2029 lottery pick that's top 14 protected conveys. So again, I think this is a fair deal. If I'm the Wizards and I got offered this, I would take it. I know a lot of Wizards fans that wouldn't. They really think we can get multiple ones, but I don't. And you got to be realistic here. And like I said, I'm not vocal in terms of they need to trade Kuz. But again, if a deal like this comes across your desk and you're Will Dawkins, you got to take it. You have to. It opens up so many more minutes for the younger guys. Alex Sarr can just slide right into that starting forward position if he's ready for it. And more shots, 20 plus shots can be spread amongst the rest of the Wizards. Like I mentioned, playing time as well. It's just, I think this is a home run deal. It's the best you're going to get. And, the Wizards would, I think, be dumb to decline it. Because what else are you going to get? You're not getting multiple ones. You got to face it. This is the best you're going to get. So that's why I think the Wizards would do it. Now, why would the Kings do it? And it's a little bit more, I wouldn't say complex, but it's tough because, like I said, the Kings have a stingy front office. They really don't want to make the move unless they think it is the move. But look at the Kings' current roster. Are they very good? No. Are they solid? Yeah, they're a good team, but are they great? Are they contenders? Are they a legitimate threat out of the West? Absolutely not. I don't even think their team as currently constructed is a lock to make it out of the play-in tournament. I think they could very well be a team hovering between the 9 and the 5 or 6 spot the entire season. And that's just, this is not necessarily a fault of their own, but the West is loaded. You got Denver, Minnesota, both LA teams that are probably going to be decent this year. A multitude of other contenders like the Thunder that are coming up strong. San Antonio can make some noise this season as well. Golden State, they still have Hall of Famers on their team. They could make some noise. There's so many teams, and I don't think the Kings are as good as any of them. So while this move doesn't mean that they're going to 100% win, their roster is not good enough to contend. And if they're content with throwing this team out, making money off of ticket sales and always losing in the first or second round, then by all means. But I know Wizards fans have been down a similar road when you had John, you had Brad, you had Otto, Keith, Marcin, a very, 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 very solid team, but they weren't elite. They weren't necessarily true title contenders. And there was not a single year during that I thought there was a legitimate chance the Wizards would ever make it to the finals, and that's in part because the Cavs were so good. But look, they really weren't legitimate contenders, and you don't play this game to make a couple of to win a couple playoff rounds and then go home. You play to win, and if I'm the Kings, I know I'm not good enough right now. Even after I added DeRozan, Kuzma is a seamless fit. Slide him right in there at power forward. Keegan Murray can play the three. You can throw out DeRozan and Fox as your guards. Sabonis at the five. You still have Monk coming off the bench. So I just don't see why they wouldn't do it. And it's not an overpay either. They're not giving up all of these ones and pick swaps and basically bankrupting themselves in draft capital for the next couple of years like they would have with someone like Sabonis. They are getting a guy on a very cheap salary who will be making under 20 mil for the final 2 years of his deal. And they're really only giving up one unprotected first for him. So again, I think this is a deal that makes sense. I think the Wizards would be foolish to decline it. I think this is the best that they will get for Kyle Kuzma. And it works out for both ways. Kuz can go try to win a title in Sacramento, and the Wizards can move on with their rebuild and make an inevitable, it seems like, move to move Kyle Kuzma. The other move that I had with Kuz is a sleeper team, and that's Miami. Again, another front office that's been in trade rumors forever and just doesn't want to make that move. They don't want to commit to any guy. I mean, they didn't get Dame because they didn't want to give up Nikola Jovic. Like, what are we doing here? So, again, same thing with Brad. Their trade packages were just terrible. It was like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and just like BS, like nothing that they could give. But with a guy like Kuz, it's a cheaper option. It's a buy-in, win-now option. I mean, they were the Heat seem like a team that's always not healthy enough to get a really good seed in the regular season, but then they turn it on towards the end, and I feel like they could benefit from some more front court help. You know, more shooting on the perimeter, more size down low. It's just, it seems like a decent fit. It's not a seamless fit, but they can make it work. And I feel like he'll be one of the better options on the market by February. The package that I have is an ugly one, and one that I don't think Wizards fans are going to like, especially if that Kings offer is on the table. But the Heat get Kyle Kuzma, and the Wizards get Duncan Robinson's contract, Haywood Highsmith, who's making 5.2 mil for the next, I think, year or two, and a 2029 unprotected first. Let's break it down first. Why would the Wizards do it? Again, like I mentioned with the Kings, Kuz doesn't fit the timeline. They want to extract max value. If this is the best deal they can get, understandable. Robinson owns the worst contract in the league. And I don't know about worst, but at least top five. It's terrible. He's making so much money, and he doesn't deserve to be making anywhere near that stratosphere of that money. I think it's 19.7 or something this year, like some crazy number. And they've tried, believe me, to move it for years, and they haven't been able to. But I think they just haven't found the right team, the right fit. And I think the Wizards, who are probably going to suck this year and the following year, it's okay if he's on their payroll. I mean, he's making pretty much the same as Kyle Kuzma, and he's nowhere near as good. Haywood Highsmith makes the salaries work. And he's still, you know, he's a solid player. You can maybe flip him as a utility guy at next year's deadline or in the offseason. But again, the centerpiece is the unprotected one in 2029. When I think the Heat will be done, I think Jimmy Butler will be on his way out. Bam Adebayo, he's still young. He's very good. He's under contract probably around that time. But again, they would have like Bam and Hero, and then Jovic, Hakez, if they develop, but I don't buy them being a long-term good team. So I think this is a good value to get a unprotected one later on in the Wizards rebuilds, and you can move Kyle Kuzma now, again, open up playing time. So I think it's great, and look, it also helps with your tank. You're trying to get a guy like Cooper Flagg. The Wizards have a lot of good young talent, but they don't have the guy yet. Orlando got their guy with Paolo. Obviously, the Spurs got their guy with Wemby. The Pistons think they got their guy with Cade. All of these rebuilding teams think that, but the Wizards haven't done that yet. And they're only, you know, a year into their rebuild. But at the same time, you need to get the guy. You can't win a championship with a bunch of really, really solid players for the most part. Usually you have that leader, that guy who just takes over. And the Wizards don't, I don't think, have that on the roster right now. So you want to be pretty much as bad as you can be record-wise. You want to give yourself the best odds to get a guy like Cooper Flagg, Cameron Boozer later down the line, some of these really talented prospects. You positioning yourself by trading Kyle Kuzma to be even worse. Again, that's another thing that would help and would make this trade make a little bit more sense. As it goes with the Heat, why would the Heat, like I said, I don't know what the trade market's going to be like in February, but I don't think there's many names that are going to be moved. Maybe a Zach LaVine, but again, the Heat didn't want to give up Jovic for a package of Dame Lillard. And you think they want to give up Jovic and Hero and a bunch of extra ones for Zach LaVine? I think they are a team that won't do it unless it's a move that doesn't mortgage their future. And I don't think this does at all. It gets them off the contract they've been wanting to get off for years. And they don't have to give up Jovic or Hero or Hakez to do so. They don't have to really give up much draft capital to do so. And they add a guy in Kuzma who can put them in a position to win now and contend. Look, when you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, Boston just won a title. They're running back the exact same roster. They are absolutely disgusting. Made a big move to get KP Andrew Holiday last offseason, and they won a title. Milwaukee made a big move to get Dame. Didn't work out, but due to injuries and a lot of skeptics, coach firings, they added some decent pieces this offseason as well. So they could be right back in the mix. You're always in the mix when you have Giannis, especially when you have Giannis and Dame. Philadelphia had probably the craziest offseason of any Eastern Conference team. They added Paul George. They added Eric Gordon. They added a bunch of other pieces, re-signed Kelly Oubre, extended Maxey. Like, all of these teams in the East are loading up. The Magic got KCP. They're running back a really solid, talented team that'll be there for years. Indiana just almost won the Eastern Conference, beat a really talented Knicks team, obviously injury depleted Knicks team, and also are getting some guys back like Benedict Mathurin, who was out for the playoffs. And you don't even talk about the New York Knicks, who got Mikal Bridges, re-signed Anunoby, are going to be fully healthy. Like, the Eastern Conference is a gauntlet. And if the Miami Heat think that the roster they have right now is anywhere near good enough to make the miraculous run that they made 2 years ago, they are delusional. And I'm not saying Kyle Kuzma does it for him, but he's probably the best player on the market, and you're not going to trade for Zach LaVine. So this is, a move that I think they would make. Would I, as the Wizards, want to get more? Obviously. But you got to factor in who you're dealing with. Pat Riley doesn't want to give up too much. So again, this is the best the Wizards, I think, could do in a trade with the Heat. The Heat got to make at least some sort of move because right now they're not good enough. And I think this move would not necessarily propel them over the top, but at least give them a fighting chance to compete in a really talented Eastern Conference. So those are the trades that I kind of could envision and see. The others that have been discussed on the trade market, your Malcolm Brogdon's, Bagley, Holmes, Corey Kispert, it's a lot harder because salaries are tough to match. You don't necessarily know what teams will be interested in them. You don't know about injuries, who could need a point guard or a forward or a center. So it makes it a little more difficult to evaluate. So I don't want to go on fan and give you some BS trade that will not happen, that I don't think will happen. The first three trades I could see that I talked about, I could very much see happening, but I didn't want to just spew some BS and talk about some trades that I don't know about yet. So what I thought would be best is to just discuss generally what I think the Wizards could get for some of these guys, what I think their mark could be, why I think it could be easy or difficult to trade some of these dudes. And I want to start with Malcolm Brogdon. And the reason I want to start here is he is by far the guy that I think Wizards fans would most expect, alongside Valanciunas, to get moved. And it's the same reasons we talked about for Valanciunas and Kuzma. Like, if a player is too old on a rebuilding team, and he's honestly too good for a rebuilding team, He's very likely going to get traded. It's just kind of how rebuilds work generally. They give that person a chance to win on a contending team, and they bring back draft capital or young talent. That's how this process works. And for a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, very similar situation to Tyus Jones. Comes in here, the Wizards didn't just trade for Malcolm Brogdon. They traded for Bob Carrington, but Malcolm Brogdon was there to make the salary work and to make the trade work. Similarly to the Wizards wanted to trade Kristaps Porzingis to get literally anything. They got some draft capital, and in return to make it work, they brought back a great player in Tyus Jones. So I think their situations are similar, and I think that's why Wizards fans are so vocal about the front office not making the same mistakes that they made with Tyus, in terms of not extracting his value at the deadline, or literally getting anything for him, and just seeing him walk for free. Wizards fans are frustrated with that, rightfully so. I'm one of those. And you don't want to see them make the same blunder that they did with Tyus. So I would tell you right now, the front office, they probably want to trade Brogdon. They want to move on. They want to extract as much value as they can, but it's not that easy. I mean, Tyus Jones was making $14 million last year. Not the most tradable deal, but again, for a backup point guard, that's pretty average, especially the premier backup point guard in the league, two that doesn't turn the ball over, that can run your second unit to perfection. That is not too expensive. But what does get expensive is when Malcolm Brogdon, who's nearing 32 years old, I believe, I think he's 31 now, a guy like Michael, who's had injury issues in the past, missed a bulk of time last season. He's making $22.5 million this year. And granted, it is expiring, but at the same time, it's a hard salary to match. And when you're dealing with contenders, a lot of these teams are in the second apron. And I just learned this, but second apron teams aren't allowed to take back more salary in a trade. Even if it's like by $100K, I think even if it's by like a dollar, they can't do that. They have to be sending out more salary than they're taking in if they're a second apron team in any trade. So there's a couple second apron teams that you got to pretty much cross off, because how are they going to make up $23 million in salary without moving a very good player? I don't know how they would do that. Again, like a team like Miami that's paying Duncan Robinson 20 mil, they could package Robinson and Highsmith and get Brogdon. But again, that's a very rare case, and they already have Terry Rozier, who's pretty similar. So that's why I didn't make any type of specific trade with Brogdon, because it's just so difficult in terms of finding a fit, finding a team that needs a backup point guard, and finding a team that has enough to match the salaries and make it a move that actually works financially. Who could show interest in Malcolm Brogdon at the deadline? A point guard needy team, certainly. Some team that maybe experimented with a backup point guard. Let's say Philly tries the Lowry and Reggie Jackson experiment to back up Maxey, and Lowry looks like he's on his last legs and he's not doing it. Reggie Jackson isn't good enough. Maybe they turn around and say, well, we kind of want to upgrade that. Let me go out and get Brogdon. But even then, like, the Sixers don't have enough to match the salaries. They don't have enough big contract players. So that's why it's difficult. That's why I wanted to come on here and say, if they don't trade Brogdon, I wouldn't be surprised. It's so hard to find a team. I mean, I went through all 29 other teams looking at, could this possibly work? Will they have the salaries? And like I said, the Heat maybe, but they don't need him with Terry Rozier. So I don't know. And look, you never celebrate injuries, obviously, and you don't want them to happen, but they do. And injuries occur during the season. It's very possible that a contending team loses a point guard for an extended period of time or for the season. Stuff like that unfortunately occurs. And if that's the case, then, Malcolm Brogdon's, it's got to be on their short list. I mean, a really solid point guard. But again, even then, his salary is so expensive that I don't know how easy it's going to be really to move him. Face value, it's what the Wizards, I would assume, want to do, but that doesn't always work out, where what you want to happen is what happens. So again, I would temper your expectations. Don't go at the front office. I'm sure they'll look at every possible avenue, but at $22.5 million, it's really tough to move a 31-year-old injury-prone point guard on an expiring deal. So that's my spiel on Brogdon. The only other guys that I can realistically be see getting moved are Marvin Bagley, Rashawn Holmes, and Corey Kispert. And I'll talk about Bagley and Holmes because they're very similar cases. Both, big men on expiring $12 million contracts. Both veterans that don't necessarily fit the Wizards timeline. Bagley is much younger than Holmes, so he fits it a little better, but I still don't think he does fit the timeline. And look, I doubt both of them get moved. I doubt both Bagley and Holmes get dealt at the deadline, but I could definitely see at least one being traded. People always want front court depth, especially guys that are versatile and they can play the four and the five, and I think both these guys can. I mean, you saw how much of a difference it made. The Wizards basically were the reason that the Mavericks won the West. I mean, Daniel Gafford went in there and changed everything, and so did PJ Washington. But the defense, the rim protection, the rolling, the lobs that Daniel Gafford provided, the spark of energy that he brought to Dallas is one of the things that propelled them past a lot of these teams and into the conference final and into the finals. So again, that kind of shows how much a trade for a big can do. And I don't think Jones or Bagley will have any type of impact of that level, but they could. And I would expect some teams to show some interest. So again, the Wizards, are they going to get anything meaningful? I doubt it. But like we saw with Tyus Jones, anything's better than nothing. If a team offers me a second round pick for either of those guys, and that's the best you can do, do it. It's the same thing for Kuz. What's the, worst thing that could happen? You open up playing time for other guys. You pick up a second round pick that could turn into something good that you could trade later on in your rebuild, to move up in the draft, like you saw this year when the Wizards traded their second round pick to move up two spots and take Keyshawn George. They help, and any type of draft capital helps when you're rebuilding and you need as many darts to throw at the board as possible. So I would expect them to net a little bit of interest, not as much as Daniel Gafford did, but a little bit. And I think at least one will be moved. I doubt both, but at least one of Bagley or Holmes will be moved at the deadline. And so this brings you to the final piece of this, and probably the most complicated, I'd say, player on this list, and that's Corey Kispert, a guy that I absolutely enjoy watching. Great cutter, excellent shooter. Seems like a great person, great human being, great teammate, very, very well liked in the locker room. But again, we saw some rumors circling at the draft that pretty much every single person except Bilal Coulibaly was on the table, and that's not factoring in obviously the guys they just drafted. And that meant Corey Kispert, whose name came up in rumors. I think Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports reported something as well. And look, it makes sense. I mean, he's entering the final year of his deal, hasn't signed an extension, expiring contract, still just 25 years old. Great shooter to space the floor for a contender. It's, great cutter as well. It makes sense that teams would be interested in a guy like Corey. And look, do I think he's going to be moved? I don't. I think the most likely scenario is the Wizards extend him. I think his deadline to get an extension is somewhere in mid to late October, pretty similar to Denny's. Like Denny's was like October 18th, and they extended him on like the 14th or the 15th. So again, I could very well see them, coming together for an extension, 4 years, 40 million, 4 years, 44 million for Corey. But again, you got to at least, discuss the fact that he get dealt because it's reality. Apart from Bilal, Sar, George, and Bub, anybody could get dealt. And at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Corey got dealt, considering that they dealt Denny Avdia to pick up another first-round pick and take someone else that's younger, they think maybe has more upside, and that they drafted instead of the old regime drafted. So you could see that as a theme here. And look, even if the Wizards get just one first-round pick from a contending team that might be in the mid to late 20s, it's possible that they just kind of want to I don't know if recycle is the best word, but it's like, all right, you drafted Corey at 15, very solid pick, very solid late or mid first-round draft pick, but is he kind of what he is? Is he really going to develop into anything more than really solid 3-point shooter, an excellent cutter, but someone that really isn't that great on defense and doesn't give you, too much in terms of his shot creation on offense? Is he at his peak right now? And if they feel like that's the case, you know, maybe a contending team wants him now, but the Wizards would rather, you know, get another first round pick and try to get something they think could be better than Corey Kispert, that they won't have to pay as much money and that they can develop on their own time. So again, if they get a first round pick, it's tough. I would be reluctant to take it, but I know some Wizards fans that would say take the money and run, take the first, have these guys draft someone else. Corey Kispert is what he is. He's not going to be anything better. And again, I wouldn't be mad at it either. So that's kind of what you got to look at with Corey, and that's going to do it for this episode. I hope it was enjoyable to listen to. Let me know, obviously, what you think about the trades. Valanciunas to the Lakers, Kuzma to either the Kings or the Heat. I think the Kings package is a lot better. I'm sure you do too. But the Heat package is one that I think I'd probably accept as well. And then, you know, some updates on Brogdon, why I think it'll be a little tougher than Wizards fans think to move him and his $22.5 million expiring deal. I think one of Bagley or Holmes will be moved, but not both. And Corey Kispert discussions will probably heat up as we get closer to the deadline if he has not been extended. And if he hasn't been extended by that point, I think that should be a red flag to kind of signal where the front office is at with Corey and kind of how they view him in terms of the future. So, again, that's going to do it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed. I'm trying to churn out some fun content, some fun pods, because it's pretty dead. The only thing I'm pretty sure we get in August is a schedule release. And once the schedule comes out in mid-August, I'll do a full pod breaking down meaningful games and, you know, what I think will be cool games to go to, return games of guys like Denny Avdia and Bradley Beal even coming back, KP, some of those guys. So that'll be something else that I'll do in August. But again, if you have any ideas for a pod, if you have any guests that you think I should have on, please feel free to send me a direct message on Twitter, because it's not easy trying to find stuff to talk about at this point in the season. So, again, that's going to do it. I appreciate all you guys for listening, and go Wiz.